So let's call the village board meeting on Monday, April 13th at 7 o'clock to order. If I can ask the clerk, please, to take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Kargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
I know he's here.
Trustee Vasquez.
There he is.
Here. Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
I am here. Okay, we all need a approval to conduct this village board meeting by telephonically. So if I can have a motion and a second to do that.
That we allow the meeting to occur by remote audio and video conference.
Second.
Okay, thank you.
Trustee Bachner.
Erica, are you for it? This is.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yeah.
Trustee Vasquez.
Russ, are you for this?
Yes, I didn't hear.
Okay.
I'm not getting the audio.
Yeah, I don't think we're hearing you.
Yeah, we're not hearing
you. Oh. My speaker's on, right? Can you hear me now?
I think we can.
Get closer.
Okay, I'll just get really close. So I'm on Trustee Brennan. Is this yes for the motion?
It is, yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. We have no citizens' comments, as I understand it. None came in. I think we, okay, before we get to the elected officials, is Helen on? I think that was her number. Who's the 8500 number? No, that's somebody.
That's the count.
That's upstairs. Okay.
No, that's the in here. We're dialed in.
In there. Okay. And then 847 is probably the ones at journal. Okay. All right. So I should have called Helen.
Helen reached out a minute ago asking for the dial.
I'm here, Kat.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thanks, Katie. I was just going to ask you to text her. Hi, Helen. Welcome to the meeting. Perfect timing. We're just going to start the comments and announcements, and I thought we'd start with you and give us an update on our COVID-19 response team.
Yeah, so everything is going well. We probably have, I'd say, between 12 and 15 contacts a day, meaning...
I think you got to talk up a little bit louder, Helen. If you don't mind.
Can you hear me now, Kat? Can you guys hear me?
A little bit louder.
Wait, let me get off the speaker. Hang on.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So we have between like 12 and 15 contacts a day, I would say, either email or phone calls to the task force line. And that involves either the grocery shopping or the pharmacy or a mass delivery, or today someone needed some alcohol swabs. They couldn't get any they needed for one of their kids had special needs, and this is a senior couple, and so I happen to have some here, so I'm able to get that to them. But I'd say the vast majority of people are in need of grocery shopping, and that seems to be going really well. The volunteers are, you know, super quick with their turnaround, and people are really happy with it. So I feel like we got a good groove going, and as the call volume increases, we're able to manage it.
Okay, well, good. Well, good. I know many of the residents are, you know, very pleased with this service. So thank you, Helen, for what you and your team are doing.
It's good. Thanks, Kathy. It's really got a lot of great people here that are pitching in to help out.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right. Real good. You're more than, you know, willing to stay on and hear the rest of the elected officials, or you can drop off, whatever you feel. Okay.
Thanks, yeah.
Okay, why don't we go ahead with the elected officials? I'll just assume we're here around the table, so I'm going to ask Erica, Trustee Bachner, if you wouldn't mind starting.
Thanks, Kathy. So I'd like to do a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still is inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee and Potawatomi Nations, and more. and we remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Not too much on my end. You know, staying at home order really helps out with that. I do just want to reiterate my thanks to the residents, businesses, and community members for continuing to do their part to keep everyone safe. I know that there have been a lot of policy changes, a lot of things have been unexpected, and that you are hearing from us on a regular basis now. So thank you for keeping that up. That's really going to make sure that this affects us, you know, as little as possible. And then again, thank you to everyone who is keeping our community running in all the various different ways. I can't tell you how much I support just every effort, and every person from the grocery store worker to the healthcare worker to our people at Village Hall. So thank you. And wanted to see if John had any updates on the census at all, as we continue trying to get people to sign up during this time.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So 69.1% as of yesterday's responses, certainly going the right direction. Appreciate everybody's help to make sure that we got a big jump on April 1st with Census Day, which was has been since we last met. So great to see that. We still have one of the best percentages in the region and in Cook County, so we're glad to see all that. But the, you know, this last 30% or so that we have left is going to be the hardest. You know, people that haven't filled it out yet are going to be the hardest to reach. So we're going to continue to try to do the best we can communicating. I think that one of the things that might help people to respond is the paper forms. So for individuals that haven't responded as of April 4th, on April 8th would have been sent paper form census, like the old school census paper forms, to respond by mail. Like I said, from our understanding from the regional and federal bureau, those were sent on April 8th, although I haven't heard of anybody in River Forest yet receiving them. Hopefully here in the coming week, they'll start to do that. Certainly the response rates from those mailer forms will lag in terms of the reporting that we see, since it's not instantaneous like online over the phone. But I'm hoping that that starts to reach some of our traditionally and historically hard to count populations. And then finally, we'll continue to try to communicate it through social media, Facebook. Certainly appreciate President Aducey issuing the robocall on Census Day. We hope that, that, you know, reach people in a way that it usually doesn't. But that's it. We continue on our way.
Hey, John, I got a quick question on it. What was the determination for the students?
So there's some flex, and there's not totally an answer yet. So the bottom line is that students that should have, or, you know, but for COVID-19 would normally be at campus are still being counted at campus.
Okay.
The only difference is the fact that both Concordia and Dominican had previously elected to still have students in those dormitories self-respond with personal information. This is a decision made a long time ago, back in January, just to help get better data about, you know, what other demographics they were other than just headcount. And that is obviously going to require, you know, a reapproach. So I've been in touch with both Dominican and Concordia, along with our regional bureau. Long story short is those students that live on campus at both those institutions will be bulk reported for those enumerations. And we, you know, unfortunately, we won't get quite as specific data because we're not going to try to do self-response for those students that are no longer on campus, but they still will be counted in River Forest. And I've also worked with both those institutions for just a few students that they have that live off campus but in River Forest. I'm helping us to try to communicate to those students because we still need them to respond as River Forest residents.
Well, let us know if you need anything, Erica or John, in terms of really getting the broadest, widest group of responses we can, because we're counting on those kids too, because we never had them before. Yeah. You know, so this is so important to us.
Yeah, and Kathy, I think that you signed on to a letter, is that correct, asking for an extension to the census date?
Yes, yes, yep. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Yes, so we did sign on as a village to ask to the federal government, I guess, to extend it. And I'm going to guess we're going to get that extension, but we don't know at this point in time.
The thing that we do know today is that the census did delay any field work until June 1. As of right now, certainly is still a working date, but that's the soonest we would see anybody in the field, which just gives us more time to encourage people to self-respond before somebody comes knocking on their door. So that's what we'll try to do in the meantime.
Thank you.
Hey John or Erica, quick question. And maybe this kind of goes to the work that we're doing with Helen. I would bet a large portion of that population that still hasn't responded would be seniors who aren't tech savvy. Is there any way we can use kind of the efforts of the senior group to help kind of ask the question about, you know, do you need help filling out the census, or, you know, have the people go to the grocery store, put a bag stuffer in with them, just something to kind of maybe spur that sector of the population that might need some help?
Suggestion, Bob.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Some of it you have to be, it is a little tricky when trying to support seniors and giving them help with it, because they really have to do it themselves. There's very specific training that you have to go through to like actually do that, but completely agree that, you know, having the question be asked of them to fill it out and giving them, you know, some additional marketing material is a great suggestion.
Great.
Use
Thanks.
The bags that you had, any of the extra bags you had. You know, the people who are going to the grocery store for folks, give them some of those census bags.
Yeah, it's a great idea. John, that's what we should do. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Bob.
Yeah, and along those lines, we did get...
Even though you can't bring your own bag.
Right, you have to take the put it in.
We did get many of the bags.
We can put the plastic in that bag.
Right.
Many of the bags we were using, we did... get out through our River Forest Complete Count Committee partners in the Township Senior Services that was doing home meal delivery, as well as Beyond Hunger Food Pantry. So they utilized a lot of our census bags as well, but we do still have a couple left with Erica and a couple other of our volunteers, so we can coordinate getting those into Helen Kwan's hands for sure.
Okay. All right, very good, thanks. All right, so we'll go to Tom.
Just to reiterate what Erica said about the first responders and village staff, I you know, I haven't seen much of things, which is a good thing, but it's evident that we've got our ducks in a row, and I think Eric and everyone else is doing a great job. So I just wanted to thank them. Thank you all. And also thanks to the senior sisters. That was a great idea. I'm not sure who came up with it, but it really shows that we're truly a community. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that we're going to cancel the April 1st year committee meeting because of this thing. I'm going to try and put together a Zoom meeting later in the month. I spoke to John Pape earlier today about facilitating it. I'm a little bit worried with 15 people that if we leave it to everyone else, to leave it to each individual to sort of self-monitor, that it could become just a screaming session. And so I'm still trying to figure out, I'm going to have a conversation with John again tomorrow on how to facilitate that sort of meeting. And then I'll reach out to the members of the committee and get dates that work for people. I mean, given that we're not doing anything, I'm assuming most dates are good, but still want to make sure. We really do need to have that meeting because we need to get going on the survey. For it to be effective, we got to get it out by May or June. And so I don't think that we can wait much longer.
Yeah. Yep, I think it's a good idea to, I mean, we have 16 on this call, so far so good.
Yeah.
It can be done. All right, very good. Thanks, Tom. Russ?
I just want to echo Trustee Bachner's and Trustee Kargi's thank you to the groups. I would like to also add, though, adding to the list of thank yous to our businesses, our residents who have been very patient and cooperating. with all our same place executive orders. Also thanking all of our fellow River Forest public bodies, libraries, school districts, for also participating and cooperating. And again, just another special thanks to Helen Kwan and her volunteer response team for doing all the great job they're doing.
Thanks, Russ. Clerk?
Hey, hi. I'm just going to ditto on everything everyone's already said, so nothing else for me.
Thanks, Kathleen. Katie?
There we go. Sorry, I had to unmute myself. I agree, ditto. I think Helen and her task force have been doing a stellar job. The village staff and first responders have been very nimble and responsive, and I think that the residents see that. I've heard that from residents, that they appreciate the open communication from you, President Aducci. And, you know, I feel just in working, you know, with the village staff and Helen and with you on this, Kathy, you know, feel the spirit of camaraderie. And I think that the impression that the residents have is that the village staff and elected officials, you know, have their concerns uppermost, and the village is staying relevant. And that's important.
Okay, great. Thanks. Patty?
Same. I'm going to agree with what everyone has been saying. I think we have been doing a very good job. Jeff's been doing a great job. I do have a question, though, in regards to our stores. I know over the weekend we had some additional concerns about people not really practicing proper spacing. Chief mentioned folks not wearing face coverings. I know when I was at our Jewel on Thursday, they had a couple lanes next to each other, so obviously not being able to practice that safe distance. So I'm just wondering, you know, I know we have things in place. I know the letters went out, what we can or should be doing to kind of help make some of these improvements. And I know a lot of it comes down to the stores. And I don't mean for this to be, you know, I recognize that the stores, this is all new to them, trying to figure out this whole shopping experience, and among everything else that they're dealing with, to have to deal with this too. On a good day, they've got a lot of fires they're putting out, right? So I don't want it to be punitive in any way, but I do want to make sure we're doing all we can to keep it safe.
Yep. No, I think we agree. And there's residents that are interested in that. So I asked the chief to take the podium to address some of the things you know, regarding social distancing as they're sitting outside the store, and then, of course, while they're in the store, and face masks. So go ahead, Jim.
You know, what we're asking for always is voluntary compliance, that the community works together. The police department has handed out some masks that we can't use. And I've seen, I'll say, Good Samaritans passing out masks to those that don't have them. For the most part, we see people adhering to the social distancing. It's difficult in a place like Whole Foods, where the line may go down the block to Bonnie Bray, or actually around the corner to Central, and their employees are trying their best to keep everyone separate as they're moving people in and out of the store. The officers have helped with that, and when they can, we also monitor our stores on the street cameras, both Jewel and Whole Foods. We haven't seen any problems at Fresh Time Market, really, nor at CVS or Walgreens or at the gas stations. And those are really the areas that we're monitoring, as well as 7-Eleven, our open businesses, as well as keeping an eye on the closed ones. The mask, that's something that we can't force the stores to say before someone comes in. But as part of best practices, we would love to have them promote people coming into the stores with masks on, or their workers wearing masks. But we have seen improvements in the parks. We have seen improvements in other public areas where people, I think, have taken, Madam President, your calls, and under better advisement, because a few reminders, and I think it sticks with them. And plus the social media campaign that the village is embracing right now. And we'll monitor and report any anomalies or any big changes as we see it.
Thanks, Jim.
Have you issued any tickets yet for violating the emergency order?
What?
Have you issued any tickets yet?
Oh, well,
No citations as of yet. And the citations as the sort of coming from the governor's office and the director of the state police organizations as the ACLU is really educate and take it as far as we can. I believe Greg Smith's office has weighed in with some opinions that they're seeing coming out of their office, is to really just educate and try to work with the public. We don't want to turn the town into martial law. And what we're seeing is a lot of people feel comfortable shopping in River Forest and coming to our stores. They feel safe.
Right. Yeah.
No citations as of yet.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Okay. Okay. Patty, anything else?
Thank you.
Bob?
So I won't go through the list, but again, congratulations and thanks to everyone who's supporting the effort and Helen and her team also. Just one little thing that I've noticed as people, just for whoever's listening on YouTube or whatever format you're listening to this on, the one thing, lots of bike riders out there, lots of runners. So for the drivers, please slow down. And for the joggers and runners, if you jog and run against the traffic, it makes life a little bit easier and a little safer. But I just, you know, I want to congratulate everyone for kind of stepping up and following the rule. And, you know, it seems like from what the governor says, it's flattening out a little bit. And hopefully we're going to get beyond this sooner than later. So that was it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's the hope, although we still don't know. You know, where the order will go beyond April 30th, but we will continue to, you know, monitor that through IML and other, you know, ways so that we can get it, we can in front of when the actual order, if it does expire or they let it go slowly. Well, for me, I just, again, I want to iterate all of what you all said, echo everything. You know, I am just really so proud to be able to say that I'm the village president of this town. It has been run so well, you know, between the fire and the police and the staff. We've got nothing but kudos and thanks. Yeah, sure, we have bumps in the way. And like you said, Patty, you know, who would have predicted any of this? And so trying to find our way, there's going to be some bumps. But overall, I would say it's just, it's been enormously, you know, I'm very enormously grateful for the staff and the people that we have, because it's made all of us look very, very proud to be part of River Forest. Just a couple other things. I know we are going to get a notice out to any of the commissions that need to meet. You know, we still have some business that we have to do for the community, like fire and police, and possibly planning and other, you know, obligations that we have. And I know, Eric, you'll be handling, you know, that notice. You all heard about Memorial Day, and unfortunately that is being canceled. You know, we supported that decision with the River Forest Park District as well as the River Forest Civic Association. It's unfortunate and disappointing, but I think everybody in the community who now knows about it has said nothing but they understand. On advice of Erica, who gave me some really good advice on trying to expand our robocalls more into maybe the younger families who don't have landlines, we're going to work with D90, District 90, to when we do our next robocall, to hopefully give them that message that they can then use to send out to the cell phones and other, you know, I guess landlines or cell phones that the D90 has. So we can broaden and widen our reach. In addition, we're going to try to also continue to sign up village, both phone numbers and emails when the parents are signing up the children for school. D90 has agreed to add our little bit in there, is if they want emails and alerts, then they sign up here for emails and alerts from the village. So great collaboration between D90 and us. Also, I got a letter from JD. He comes in every once in a while, and he, I think, brings up a great point. I talked to Eric a little bit about this, in that, you know, as we're all not driving and going downtown, we're all living in our community. We're finding more garbage, unfortunately, gloves, masks, just garbage just laying around, people throwing it out for one reason or the other. So I've asked the village staff to take up, you know, to begin looking at Lake Street, Madison Street, North Avenue, and make sure that, you know, we clean up a little bit, maybe more frequently than we would have otherwise, due to just the amount of people that are probably walking down those streets. Let's see. I think that's about it. I'm, like I said, very thankful. I think John and I are like best buddies now over the next couple of days. We've been writing and robocalling and emailing, and I'm very, like I said, very grateful for the communication department of John Pate. It's a big department. It's one person, so we work hard. And we're trying to have fun as well. As you all know, they came up with, I think Lisa and John came up with the idea of bingo card. I thought that was a cute idea. Katie, you gave me the idea of the bunny, about making the bunny rabbit, an essential worker over the weekend. Anything we can do to help our community kind of, you know, get uplifted, I think is a great idea. I even tried to, you know, do a basketball throw, which was a disaster. Completely missed it. So, you know, just making a little bit of levity of it, knowing that it's a serious business, but we can also laugh and smile at the same time. So, again, even though we are our part, we can all work together to make our community a great community. So that's all I have now, we'll go ahead. I'm sorry?
I have a quick question about the robocalls that are going out. This is Patty.
Yeah, hi, Patty.
Do we have an option now for people to request for their cell phones to be added?
Yes, you can go. Yes, because that's where it goes to mine, is my cell phone. So, yes, okay. If you don't have a landline, we're trying to get that out. If you don't have a landline, then absolutely you can register your cell phone.
Okay. Right. Has that been, or can it be a post, you know, like on Facebook or something, to let people remind people of that, if we want to try and increase our numbers, you're saying, to reach people?
Yeah, we've tried in the past. I think, John, I mean, we'll keep doing that, to put their cell phone in.
Yeah, for a good reminder post. Yep. Certainly anybody can.
Especially now with it being, you're doing it more often.
And until 2 weeks ago, we'd never really done robocalls like we're doing now, right. You know, at least in my tenure here. So that's certainly something that we've expanded, and it's a great
right.
The school districts are going to help us as well, but that's a good call for a reminder post on that topic.
And just one last follow-up. I walked past the bocce courts on a walk yesterday, and Kathy, you're right. I couldn't believe how much garbage was along the bushes. A lot of wipes.
A lot of wipes.
That Carla used over at the Jewel that are now blown over into the bushes over there.
You're so right, Patty. And it's so funny. When he wrote me, I said, you're kidding me. I can't imagine people would just throw their gloves on the floor and masks. And there are a lot. So,
Kathy, I was going to ask about that too. Is that something where if we put more trash cans out, or I don't know, messaging on the trash cans, would that be helpful at all?
I mean, I don't make this bigger than
That's
it is,
awful.
But it might be a solution.
Yeah, we could certainly take a look at that. I don't think anything is off the table. What I've just read anecdotally is that people are taking their own personal PPE and they just throw it out. They throw it like, you know, without any regard for even throwing it in the garbage. So we'll talk. We have a daily staff meeting. We'll talk tomorrow about doing not only an enforcement component, but seeing if we can get some more cleanup in the public areas as well, and try to attack this from a couple different areas.
Yeah, I mean, if it's happening at the Jewel, you know, at those exits, maybe, I don't know what their emergency vehicle situation is there, you know, by the exits, but maybe just having something where they could put it there.
You know, in defense of some of our River Forest residents, not everyone is from River Forest that's causing or dumping the stuff.
Right.
I've seen vehicles driving, walking their dogs, leaving their business, and then just putting the dog back in the car and driving off. And I've also read some some Facebook postings about how people love River Forest, because we actually obey more of the social distancing as opposed to some of the other villages, is what I'm hearing. And so people feel much more comfortable walking and riding their bikes in our village. It's a good thing and then a bad thing at one point. So I don't want to blame all the River Forest residents.
Oh, I'm not suggesting I have no idea who's doing it. All I know is it's there. Okay. Thanks, Russ. Okay. So let's move on to the public hearing that we must have to vote on our village operating budget. So I guess I will open the public hearing up. And what do I do?
It is 7:32, so the public meeting or public hearing is called to order.
Okay.
And so, Madam President, Board of Trustees, each year you're required under Illinois state law to hold a public hearing, at least one public hearing, in regards to the village's operating budget. There was a committee of the whole this evening at 6 o'clock in which that budget was discussed. We have posted the budget online. We've made a copy available here at Village Hall for public viewing if someone wanted to check it out. And then also we've published a notice of this hearing in the Chicago Tribune within 1 week of the public hearing, adhering to the state law guidelines. And so this is the opportunity from any member of the public who wanted to present any commentary on the budget. We have not received any commentary ahead of time. So we could ask one last time if there's anyone on the line that wanted to comment on the budget. If not, and unless the trustees had something, we would then adjourn that hearing.
Okay. Well, it doesn't look like anybody is even, any public is on the line. So hearing no further comments regarding the operating budget for fiscal year 2021, I would like to close the public hearing. Do we take it to?
I move to.
Yeah.
To close the public hearing.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Okay. All right. So let's move on to item number 6, which is the consent agenda. If I can please get a motion to move the consent agenda A through O, and a second.
Motion to approve the consent agenda items A through O.
Second?
Second.
That was Russ. Okay. And if I can ask the clerk, please. It's going to take a little long, so yeah.
Yeah. Consent agenda A, special village board meeting minutes March 30th, 2020. B, proclamation, Arbor Day. C, waiver of formal bid due to sole source item and award of purchase of soundproofing material from Acoustic Block in the amount of $56,192.25, this amount to be reimbursed to the village by Metra. D, award of bid and contract for the 2020 street patching program to McGill Construction LLC in the amount of $91,425. E, award of bid and contract for the 2020 curb and sidewalk replacement program to Strata Construction Company in the amount of $59,512.50. F, award of bid and contract for the 2020 pavement preservation project to Denler Inc. in the amount of $50,000. G, award of bid and contract for the 2020 asphalt pavement crack sealing project to Denler Inc. in the amount of $43,400. H, waiver of formal bid due to competitive RFP and award of contract for construction engineering services for 2020 street improvement project, alley improvement project, and water main projects with Thomas Engineering Group in a not to exceed amount of $142,787.84. I, pipeline crossing agreement with Union Pacific Railroad for the 2019 water main improvement project. J, amend section 9-3-20 of the village code for removal of an ADA parking space on Edgewood between Central and Lake ordinance. K, accounts payable March 2020, $1,408,075.74. L, financial report March 2020. M, monthly department reports. N, performance measurement report. O, village administrator's report. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
I think she's dropped off the call just a second ago.
She dropped off. So how do I vote that as a...
So she is not present for this vote.
Okay. Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Trustee Pranick, I couldn't hear. Yes. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Motion passed.
So the vote total would be 5 in favor, none voting against, and the minutes would reflect that Trustee Bachner, or excuse me, Trustee Brennan was not present for this part of the meeting until she rejoins.
Okay. All right. Moving ahead to the consent items for separate consideration. If I can motion a second for item A. This is the for the McDonald's.
I move to approve the payment from the general fund to McDonald's Caravetas for $41.22.
Second.
Okay.
I asked the clerk not to call my name during the vote because of my relationship with the franchisee.
Okay. Okay. If you can read it and then take the vote, please.
Accounts payable from the general fund to McDonald's Caravetas for $41.22. Trustee O'Connell, common law conflict of interest. Thomas Kargi, Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
She texted me. She's lost her connection. So.
Trustee Hennick. Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I didn't hear you there. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, motion passed.
Okay, we have going on, we have no recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. We have no unfinished business, so let's move on to new business. If I can get a motion for 10A, this is the executive order 2003. That I signed last week regarding a nuisance due to violation of the Illinois Governor's Public Health and Safety Welfare Executive Order.
So if I can make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Village Code regarding nuisances due to violations of the Illinois Governor's Public Health, Safety, and Welfare Executive Orders and adopting Executive Order 2003 issued by the Village President under a declaration of a state of emergency.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
It's Tom. Okay, thank you. All right. Any questions or comments on that? I think we've addressed it a little bit. As you know, this is gives the police department just another tool to use, but in no way would it be the first, order of use. It would be, the last resort, if you will, but I think it was necessary to have this on our books and allow our police department to do their work if they need to. So, okay. Hearing no questions or comments, if I can ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
I'm back on, but I didn't hear what we're talking about. I apologize.
Okay, this is the item 10A. We're voting on the Village Code Amendment regarding the nuisance, the Executive Order 2003.
Yes.
Okay.
So is that a yes vote for that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Katie, well,
it
Trustee
is.
Brennan?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes vote.
Okay. Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi? Motion passed.
Okay. And along those lines, I just also want to let the trustees know that since we're still under the governor's orders until April 30th, that I will go ahead and sign the declaration tonight. Again, keeping River Forest in a state of emergency until our next board meeting, April 27th. Again, I think you saw the executive orders are used sparingly and used for the purpose of ensuring that our community is safe. So just want to let you all know that. And hopefully by that time, we'll see where the governor is going to take take us all next in May. All right, moving on. Item number 10B, this is now approving our annual operating budget for fiscal year 2021. If I can get a motion and a second.
I move to approve an ordinance adopting the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on the first day of May 2020 and ending on the 30th day of April 2021 for the Village of River Forest, Illinois.
Second.
Okay. Any further comments or questions that you have on the budget that we reviewed?
And then we'll make the changes to the document as it relates to some of the items that were brought up regarding the performance measurements in the police department. We've already identified kind of where that fell apart, and we'll get those corrected in the final document.
You heard that, Patty? So some of those will
Thank
get corrected.
You.
Okay, very good. All right, good. Well, with those corrections, then can I please get a vote?
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion passed.
So moving on to item number C, if I can get a motion and a second, and then I'll let John talk a little bit about it. For item 10C, this is a temporary relief from public hearing requirement.
Motion to approve.
Go ahead, Erica.
Motion to approve an ordinance providing temporary relief from the public hearing requirements under the Village of River Forest Historic Preservation Ordinance for applications to demolish accessory structures on significant properties.
Can I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Patty. All right. Of course, this is all due to the unfortunate situation that we're in, getting together quickly. So, John, why don't we go ahead and explain to the trustees why we're suggesting this? And that, David, I assume that you talked to the chairman of the commission.
Thanks to Chairman Dave Franek. This is put together in conjunction and with the support of Chairman Franek, as well as Greg Smith for helping work through putting this together in short order. The bottom line is that the HPC already has a process that works really well for almost everything except demolition. So if you're making changes to the exterior home, visible in the street, more than 20% of your facade, as well as windows, and the HPC isn't going to have a meeting in 30 or 7 days respectively, then the HPC has a review subcommittee made up of 2 members to not, violate the Open Meetings Act that can hear those applications. Those 2 committee members are both licensed architects that have a lot of experience and certainly do a good job serving the commission by reviewing those applications on a subcommittee basis. However, the ordinance currently calls for public hearings for demolition of a structure. That's the part that is difficult to do right now, obviously. Certainly a lot of different things to work through, including some, legal pieces of doing a public hearing over Zoom, notices to go out to neighbors around 500 feet, things like that. So this ordinance would temporarily suspend the public hearing requirement. And a couple of few things to note about that. Obviously, it's only during the emergency, the declared emergency here by the state of Illinois, or until this board were to repeal it. It only applies for accessory structures. In this case, the pending application is a garage, but would not apply to the primary structure, the home of the properties. The real goal is to obviously help allow an application to move through the currently pending. The HPC currently has and would retain the ability to delay that demolition up to 6 months as they see fit and ruling on the application. Really, the only difference is to, in this case, the benefit of the applicant, allow it to proceed without a public hearing so that this individual can continue to move their project through. It would obviously apply to any other future applications for the demolition of secondary structures on significant properties as well. Certainly happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Seems reasonable. So, hearing no questions from the trustees, I will go ahead and ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, so we're moving on to item number D. If I can get a trustee, please, to move and one second it, and we'll talk about it.
I'd like to make a motion to ratify the village policies, illnesses at workplace COVID-19 for first responder employees and non-first responder employees.
Second.
Okay. Eric, do you want to?
Lisa will take this.
Oh, Lisa.
Sure. Yeah.
Lisa.
Can you hear me okay?
Hi. Yes.
All right. So real quickly, not long after the governor issued his stay-at-home order, shelter-at-home order, the village started enacting policies and even, quite frankly, started working on policies to ensure that we had procedures in place for those employees who were exposed to COVID-19, who were suspected of having it, who tested positive, or who had come into someone who was suspected of having it or testing positive. So we wanted to make sure that we had some leave policies in place right away so that if our first responders or any of our employees were exposed, we knew what to do, and our departments had some guidance about what to do. And so from the jump, we have had a policy in place providing some paid leave benefits for employees and not requiring them to use any of the sick leave that they are awarded either through the personnel manual as non-union employees or through collective bargaining agreements as union employees. So we have had that benefit in place since approximately the third week. We have amended that policy a little bit from time to time as the situation has developed and as our knowledge of everything has developed. But not too long after that, the federal government adopted the Families First Coronavirus Response Act with some additional paid leave benefits for employees that they were not otherwise entitled to. It is our understanding in speaking to a variety of different agencies and sources that the FFCRA was really intended to apply to private sector employees or perhaps other sectors where they don't have the same generous leave benefits that we have here in the municipal government and particularly here in River Forest. And so there is a component or there is a provision in the FFCRA that allows municipalities to exempt certain classifications of employees that are known as emergency responders. And under the law and under the Department of Labor's interpretation of emergency responder, it is not just police and fire. We are classifying all of our employees as emergency responders for the purposes of the FFCRA, and we are recommending that our employees be exempt from the FFCRA. What that means is that they would not get 2 weeks of paid leave or the ability certain forms of leave for childcare under FFCRA, would be able to take the same amount of sick leave under the village's policy that we had already adopted. So there are leave benefits that our employees will gain by exempting them from the FFCRA. But the bottom line is we do provide essential services to our community. It is critical that employees are at work and capable of providing those essential services. We have a small staff. Our bench is not that deep.
It is worse.
Really important that we have as many employees present as possible so that we can continue to provide those very critical services at this time. So our recommendation is that we adopt the exemption from the FFCRA and ask employees to use our existing policy to access those leave benefits that are the same, if not better than in most cases, than what's under the federal law.
Okay.
And there's a second component to this motion. Just wanted to lose sight on that would authorize my office to make and modify this policy and report any material changes back to the village board. As Lisa pointed out, this is probably what the third or fourth version of this that we have worked on as this has developed, and we're bringing it back to you right now in part because of that exemption. But certainly if we have to make additional changes to that, we don't want to have to bring it back every single time. So we would be asking for that consideration as well.
Was that part of the motion that was moved?
No, there's a second. There's a second one on here.
It's listed as
on the cheat sheet.
Oh, so we can't combine them. Okay.
You can combine them. If it's okay with the motion and the second, we can combine them.
Who motioned it?
Trustee O'Connell.
We have Bob.
Bob, do you mind? Bob, do you mind adding the second one to the motion?
So the second one is then to authorize the village administrator to modify illness and workplace policies as needed and report material changes to the village board of trustees.
Yes.
Yes.
And who seconded?
Trustee Vasquez.
Russ, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that modification, hearing no other further questions, I'd ask.
I actually did have a question.
Yep.
Lisa, you may have answered this during your presentation, but you were kind of cutting out. I'm trying to figure out how the village is benefited by exempting them. If they're under the federal act, then it's the federal government that will pay the Family Medical Leave Act, right? So what benefit do we derive by supplementing or superseding the federal government and the money they would otherwise provide our employees? Because that means that they can't come to work if they're sick. So I tried to figure that out today, and I just couldn't.
So the federal government isn't necessarily providing the money for the employees. So just we continue to pay them, and we're only eligible for we're not getting the payroll tax credit. So we were specifically cut out of being eligible for the payroll tax credit. And so there is financial benefit to the village to do this, other than to make sure we can provide essential services. That's the main reason why we're doing this. Under the FFCRA, there is a cap on what employees will be paid. So if we were to go the route of allowing employees to access these benefits under the federal law, then we may not necessarily have to pay them their full salary. Or we may only have to pay up to a certain amount. And it gets a little dicey trying to figure out how to make up that differential for the employees who maybe earn more or less than what that cap is. The other main component to this, and one of the main concerns that not only the village has, but municipalities, I know the city of Chicago in particular, but school districts, by not being allowed to exempt, there's a component of the FFCRA that requires you to provide leave benefits for child care purposes if the school district is closed as a result of COVID-19. We have a lot of employees who have young families. We are certainly sensitive to their needs. If we have employees who have childcare issues, we have worked with them, we will continue to work with them, either through shift trade, schedule changes, you name it, we will work with them as much as we possibly can to figure it out. But if we did not exempt our employees from the FFCRA, we could potentially lose more than a third of our workforce for those child care reasons.
Yeah, that's the part I guess I didn't get. I thought it was just if the person's sick, they can either get their FMLA benefits from us or from the federal government, but it's more the child care component that's the concern. Okay.
Good explanation. Okay, if I can ask you, please take the vote.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Kargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick? Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion's passed.
All right. And then the last item, I think you've pretty much addressed it during the budget, operating budget, and this is, programs for reimbursement for any of our COVID-19 costs. If there's any further questions for Eric or Lisa, they'll be happy to take them, but is there anything else you want to add?
No.
I asked him to put it there just so that we could update you, but you were updated during the budget.
Yeah, so essentially it's the FEMA pot. I did look at that MWRD communication that was just telling us about the FEMA pot
money.
So So yeah, FEMA typically at 75 cents on the dollar. The village last utilized FEMA dollars back to 2013. It was 2010 and 2013 because there was a, in 2013 there was a declaration of disaster. The interesting part when we had the flooding, the event happens, it ends, and then you go and you do your paperwork with FEMA. This one's still moving along. So we put all our pre-registration paperwork in. We've confirmed that the county has received that. And now we're just tracking expenses and waiting for direction from Cook County to let us know that we can start submitting that paperwork. I suspect a lot of that will all be done through the county and through webinars and things like that. In the old days, you would have a FEMA rep come on out and walk you through everything when they were isolated at disaster areas. Obviously, this is everybody, so more to follow on that. We'll certainly keep the board abreast of that, but that's the plan right now.
Okay. So that's all we have. If anybody else has any other comments, we have no executive session, so... So we, if I can get a motion to adjourn in a second, we'll adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, well. Meeting adjourned.
All right.
Okay, hearing no no's, and we're adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.